بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the time of the English, one Indian was arrested. He was caught for murder. So at the trial, when he appeared before the court, the judge requested if he could talk to the criminal in private. The criminal was called aside, and the judge says to him, "Do you remember so many years ago approximately, I was the foreman on a site and you were working under me. And you were required to dig those trenches on the site, and you alone had found a big gold nugget, approximately 10 kilos in weight. And in all truth and honesty, you came and brought it to me. Now, I can't understand that you committed this murder today, killed a small girl, 6-7 years of age, just because of her earrings. She had some earrings, so you pulled the earrings out and you killed her. So on one occasion, that amount of gold you had found, there was nobody that had been seeing you. And in all honesty, you brought it up. Now, for much less of that gold, you went and killed this one and took away her gold earrings. So how do you reconcile this?" So he says, "Kya kare, us waqt to dil ka haal hi aisa tha." At that time, this was the state of my heart. That dishonesty was counted to be like the worst of crimes. Like, we couldn't think of a crime as worse as dishonesty. And now the condition of the heart is, whatever comes, I must just take it. Whatever I acquire, whatever I get, I must just take it. So my mind and my heart has a total change. On one occasion, I was so honest and so truthful. And then now, some years later, my mind has totally capsized, gone to a different direction altogether. So the court cautioned him and threw the case out. And in its notes, he had written there, "This is a result of our corrupt administration. At one time, our administration was going very smoothly. There was a lot of justice. There was a lot of good. Then this was the condition of our subjects and our people. Then with the passage of time, we became corrupt. When we became corrupt, then this is the condition of our own subjects." That's why Allah Ta'ala warns us, "Qul huwa al-qadiru ala an yab'atha alaykum azaban min fawqikum aw min tahti arjulikum." These trials and challenges from Allah Ta'ala can come in different ways. They don't have to come all in one and the same way. Sometimes the challenge and the trial is from above. Sometimes is from beneath. The trials from above could be rains, storms, hurricanes, tornadoes. So this is a challenge and a punishment that's coming from above. Right. And then, by the same token, it could be the boss. Just now the boss was looking at you favorably. And now his whole mind has changed. He doesn't look at you favorably like he had been looking at you. It could be the husband to the wife. But the husband is above and he's got a change. Change of mind, change of intention. He doesn't look at his wife as favorably as he used to look at previously. Before he was focused towards her, he was very loyal to the marriage, he was faithful to his love, and now he's got a change of mind. Don't we hear about this all the time? Some small thing, and it just gives him a change. Sometimes it happens that he was going very smoothly and very well in the marriage. Then another girl came in his life. When the second girl came in his life, now his mind took a U-turn. So his focus, his loyalties are with this new woman, and his previous wife, now she's just a furnisher. He doesn't show her the respect, he doesn't show her the loyalty. Right? So you see the change of the heart, and how Allah Ta'ala can just change it. Qallib al-qulub, he is the turner of the hearts. So what is important is the direction of the heart remains right. If the direction of the heart remains right, then the limbs also will conform. They will also be right. Because there is a connection between the heart and the limbs. The limbs on their own, they don't have a brain to think. They don't have that intelligence to decipher and understand. So it will be the brain that will send the message, perhaps through the hand, and instruct the hand that this is a morsel of food, then you need to eat it. So it happens so swiftly that we don't even realize that it is the message that is coming from the brain to the fingers, that this is the morsel, and you need to pick it up, put it into your mouth. Right? So when the brain is right, then the right message will go through. It will instruct and instruct the right things. Be good, be patient, be kind, be considerate, be generous, be magnanimous. So that is all if the brain is right. And if the brain goes off, then the brain will say, no, I don't need to be courteous. I need to be very, very, I must strategize, you know. And not only strategize, but I must be treacherous. I must have some different agenda, and I must be spiteful. I must show the person a point, and I must be arrogant, and I must show my worth. I must show who I am. See? So now the heart just takes a change. See? First, the heart was going on a right tangent. Now the heart just took a change, upside down. We see this in the madrasa many a times. When a student comes initially and is very humble, respectful, very courteous, and he is conforming to all the madrasa standards, he is conforming. Then after some times, this feelings of righteousness and virtue, they begin to weaken in him. Now, he isn't like what he was before. Before, very courteous, respectful, considerate, and a person that was very easy to get along, work with. Now, it's become difficult to work with the child. Although he's doing the work, but we don't see that cooperation in the child, what we used to see before. So, the mind had gone off. When the mind went off, so the entire body went off now. vomiting, why is the hand glistening, why is the feet not working like it used to work, why is there not the type of cooperation that we used to see once upon a time. So the idea is this, that the mind went off. When the mind went off, then the whole body goes off. So the hadith says it very clearly, that there is a piece of flesh in the human body, right? That thing goes right, the entire body goes right, and that thing goes off, then the entire body goes off. As though the heart is like the king, right? The king himself is not visible, like the heart is not visible, right? Or call it the heart, call it the mind is not visible. I ask you, show me the mind, can you show the mind? Can't show the mind. But you know that there is a thing like the mind, there is a thing like intelligence, though you cannot see intelligence. Or those that insist that they want to see the creator, right? An atheist teacher, he'd come into the class, so he's impressing upon the students that there isn't a creator. It's little children that he's working with, and he feels that he can manipulate them, see, towards atheism. So he says, I instruct you that there isn't a creator. So he asked, how come you say that? Well, if there was a creator, then show me. If you can't show me, that means there is no creator. If there is a creator, then show me the creator. But if you can't show, then there is no creator. The little child spoke up, stood up, and he says, well, if you apply the same principle, then I declare that you've got no intelligence. You're a madman. You've got no brains. So the teacher were upset. How could you be so ill-mannered? How are you so disrespectful? And you don't have any character, you don't have any ways. The child says to the teacher, well, if you have brains and intelligence, then show it to me. And if you can't show it to me, that means you've got no brains. And if you've got no brains, then you're a madman. Now, the same principle the child used to prove the teacher wrong. Some many years ago, maybe about 25 years ago, it was on Basabo here, the madrasa. Quite a witty child. He must have been about 11, 12 years of age. So the principal had called me in the school that we're having some uphill and we have got some problem with this child. Many years ago. So can you come in? So I went in, so they had a staff meeting. There was the madam there, the principal there, and I'm sitting on one end. So she's complaining to the principal that this child is being vulgar, he's not showing the respect in the class. So I spoke to that boy, Basa, can you show me what happened exactly? Why is the teacher complaining against you that you're not being respectful? So he said, no, the madam told me that I am a donkey. So all I told the madam that we belong to the same species. That was my answer. Now she says that I'm being rude. So I could see that the headmaster couldn't hold his laugh. You have to just throw out the case. Can't do it. What can you do now? The headmaster's client, as though it was the headmaster's client, he was proven wrong. But in the presence of the child, he couldn't say it. You were wrong. Why did you say these type of words? See? So what I'm getting at is this, that there is a center, right? Like a king, the parliament, the center. That center gives all the instructions. Call it the nucleus, call it the brain box, call it whatever you want to call. But all the instructions come from this point. If this point is right, then all the messages that are going from here will also be right. But if this point is off, then the messages that are going from this point are all also off. In that Fazail al-Tijarat, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh gives one hadith there, that when a person consumes haram, right? Now what's the aftermath? What happens after that? When he consumes haram, then he says that his limbs begin to disobey him. So this, see, contradiction, defiance can happen in two ways. One is that the brain goes off. And the second way is that the brain wants to give the right type of instruction, but the limbs are defiant. They defiant. It's a strange phenomena if we just try and understand it. The message that the brain is giving to the limb, can we see the message? Scientifically, can we prove it? But we do accept that there is some message that is passed on, right? So for the message to be passed on to the hand, then there must be some conveyor, something that is conveying the message to the hand that do this, right? But yet we can't see the message. Scientifically, we can't prove it. Okay, there is some message that went through. Can you prove it? Any science can they prove it? They can't prove it. But yet, they will say that that message, the brain is passing on that message. So that means if the brain is passing on the message, there is a connection between every limb and the mind. You can't dispute that there isn't a connection. There is a connection between the mind and every limb. And this thing works so swift. Imagine you are coming down a flight of stairs or ascending, right? So the mind will tell you exactly, it will calculate, okay, this is the height you need to raise your feet and this is the strength you need to place your feet on. If there's a miscalculation, you can fracture your feet. If there's a miscalculation, you can fracture because you will imagine that step to be lower or higher and you will calculate accordingly, you will work accordingly. But the mind, it will say there's a stair and this is the height you need to raise your feet and this is the height you need to lower, this is how you need to lower your feet. Now if the calculation is right, you're going right. But if the calculation is incorrect, it was dark and you didn't calculate yourself, then you can fracture your foot. So within the fraction of a second, all these calculations take place. Look at the Sun Allah alladhi atqana kulla shay. Look at the workmanship of Allah Ta'ala. So powerful, so dynamic. Eh? Within a fraction of a second, and everything takes place. I was thinking for a moment. It would seem that within the body, the most powerful limb is the tongue. Right? It's just a guess, but that's what I would think, that the most powerful thing is the tongue. Right? Its function also is so complex, but it is also so dynamic. When I say its function is so complex, then it's a small piece, right? It's such a small piece. Say, perhaps about 4 centimeters by about 10 centimeters or so, right? That's an area, right? Tongue. When it's so complex, it does so many things for you. Gives you the taste, whether this is sour, bitter, sweet, hot, right? These are 4 tastes that you normally have, right? Sour, bitter, sweet, or hot, right? Or salty, say 5, right? But you just put the stuff in your mouth, and it gives you a reading straight away. It's got like a built-in computer to give you the reading straight away. Then it'll tell you how hot it is or how cool it is. So 7 things this thing is telling you. 1 in a second it's just giving it to you. Can you imagine how powerful, what a complicated thing. So complex it is. It's giving you a reading straight away. You just put the thing in your mouth and it's telling you. So who's doing this? It's the tongue that's doing it. Immediate. You just put it and it's giving a reading. people that test out the blood, you know, sugar patients. They still have to pierce, they put it somewhere else, then the stick will give a reading that, oh, this is your sugar, right? And sometimes that is also faulty a little bit. If you go and change the thing. This thing is giving you immediate reading it's giving you. Can you imagine? Created by Allah Ta'ala. Sun Allah. The workmanship of Allah Ta'ala. Then that's the one aspect of the tongue. Then the other aspect of the tongue is, I think it's about the only limb in the body that doesn't tire. Right? Right? The hands make it tired, the feet make it tired, you make it tired eating, right? The stomach make it tired, right? Your eyes make it tired reading, right? But the tongue goes on. This industry of the tongue carries on. Righteous, right or wrong, right? In the right, you hear of some people making one khatam every day. So who's doing the khatam? See how powerful this thing is. How magnanimous, how mighty this tongue is. That one khatam in the day. And the tongue is not tired yet. For an occasion to speak, it will still speak. And someone is making even more than a khatam in the day. But who is doing it? The tongue is doing it. Now you see how powerful this tongue is. Just one small little piece. Doesn't get tired. And it's working. 24/7 it's working. You get those people that... It will work in their dreams also. In their dreams also it's working. Night shift, day shift, all the time it's just working. See, tongue. Do you marvel the workmanship, the beauty of the workmanship of our Creator, Allah Ta'ala? Yes. We need to take our time sometimes and think about the Creator, His beauty, magnificence, magnanimity, greatness, etc. You will see Him. You want to see Allah Ta'ala, you will see Him in His creation. But do we take out the time to reflect, to understand, to see? The mother also will use the tongue, right? She needs to chew the food. So she'll use her tongue, etc. And then she'll get it right. The texture is right. She feels it. Even the texture she's seeing, is it right, palatable for my little child? She sees the texture and she administers the food into the child's mouth. So sun Allah alladhi atqana kulla shay. So I was showing you the connection between the limbs and the mind, right? Now just look at Jannat from a different perspective, right? You talk about Jannat and you say walakum fiha ma tashtahi anfusukum. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. You will get your desire. What you desire, you will get it. You see, you get what you desire. So if you desirous of a certain fruit, right, that fruit is before you. You've just desired. You long for that fruit, and that fruit is before you. You long for some roast, for example, right? And you want that roast in a certain style. That roast must be, for example, peri-peri, right? Or it must be salt and pepper. It must be done in a certain way, right? And you want it of a certain bird, for example, right? Certain bird, and it must be prepared in a certain style, right? You just thought about it, and that bird is slaughtered, prepared, and before you, as you want. The heat, the strength of the heat, spices, as you want it, before you, right? Now, this we understood that there is a connection between the mind and the limb. Now, there is, in all this planning, there is some logic, right? But just that we don't use our brains. Our brain is used just a little bit technology here, there. But we don't use it more than that. Now, how did that work in the hereafter? How did it come about? You just thought about it and it came to you. How did it happen? So now just apply your brains. Apply your brains, you'll get it, right? All right, we believe Nabisam, because Nabisam said it is the truth, right? But the actual answer is this, that Rasulullah had said this, so therefore it is true. But even your mind, even your brain also will testify the truth of what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying. See, in this world, one had trained himself, he trained his limbs to listen to that mind. The mind was right, so the mind had passed good messages. When the mind passed good messages, so the limbs were conforming, said, all right, perform namaz, don't look at the wrong, look at the right, don't listen to wrong, listen to the right, right? Don't talk about wrong. So the mind was giving the right messages and the limbs were just conforming and agreeing, right? So when the limbs were just agreeing and conforming, now all these deeds were getting stored up. You see, the mind passed the message, okay, perform your namaz, though you're feeling asleep, but then you get up and perform your namaz, do your namaz. So you, the limbs, they obeyed. When they obeyed, then what was the outcome? The outcome was a good deed. Right? Now the good deed is not getting wasted, it's getting stored up somewhere. It's getting stored up. So that is getting transformed into, that good deeds getting transformed into the blessings of the hereafter. Sometimes it's a fruit tree, sometimes it's a garden, sometimes it's a palace, sometimes it's a girl. So it's getting transformed, that good deed of yours is getting transformed into some blessing, right? Some favor, some comfort, right? You see how it's working, right? Thereafter, now see, take this reasoning, take it one step ahead. In this world, there was some line between the mind and the limb. So you can't see it, but you agree that there is a line. Right? Now, in the hereafter, when here the mind was right, it was passing right instructions. So now the same procedure carries on in the hereafter. The same procedure carries on. So the favors and the comforts of the hereafter were a product of the mind, right? So the mind has got some connection with all this product because it's a product of the mind. So it's not lost. The mind produced it. If you look at it, right, if you analyze it, who produced it? It was the mind. Mind instructed the limbs to do it. So it's a production of the mind. So the mind has got some contact with that. So that means there is a contact between the comforts and the mind. Here there is a contact between the mind and the limbs. Now there is a contact between the mind and the comforts. And the reason is this, that in this world, the need is amal, right? Amal is the need here, right? What is the need here? Work. You want to work, you're going to get paid. You're not going to work, you're not going to get paid, right? If you do work, then you'll get paid. You read your namaz, you're going to get this reward. You didn't read, then you're not going to get the reward, right? So in this world, this is a system that you work and you get the reward. In the hereafter, is there any need to work? It's not an obligation that you want to perform namaz, zuhr time, no asr time, don't listen to music, don't drink and all that. So there isn't that type of obligation after death. After death, there's total freedom, right? There's no restriction after death. There's total freedom, right? The restriction is here. The obligations are here. Right? On that end, there is no restriction. So, in this world, what is required is work. In that world, because there isn't obligations, then what's there? There's no obligations. There's only rewards. There, there's only rewards. Here, it's only obligations. And here, there's only rewards. Right? So, a point in between. In this world, then don't look for rewards. Don't look for rewards, like, you've been doing good works, now don't look for any reward here. because this is not the place of reward. Rewards is there. Here is action and there is rewards. So where you're supposed to be working, then work there. And where you're supposed to be looking for rewards, then look for rewards in that place. That is, it is specially made for your reward. This is specially made for your action. Here is action and there is reward. You know, in Bukhari Sharif, it starts off with Badul Wahi, right? How Wahi, etc., how it started off. So they will tell you that for the first 1,000 years or so, right until Nuh alayhi salam's time, so most of the Wahi and commands that were coming was how to flourish the earth, right? Because there was nothing now, it's new, it's just land, right? And you need to sustain life, human life primarily, other life secondary, right? Primarily human life. So the wahi was to show mankind how to sustain life. To sustain life, he needs about 3-4 structures, right? He needs to know agriculture, because how he's going to sustain life without agriculture, right? That was the one wahi that he should come down. The second wahi used to come out was how to build dwellings and homes. Because man is so weak, he can't live in the open. Can he live in the open? Can't live. So he was then instructed, shown how you build your dwellings. Right. Then the third type of wahi that was coming at that time was how to manufacture clothing. Right. You come here, right? So you have a thing like shame and respect. You can't go around naked, right? Then how to bake and how to manufacture clothing. So they were shown these three things. And the fourth thing that they were shown was some education, how to teach, instruction and how to teach. And the fifth thing was medication, right? So these were the 4-5 things, basic things that man was taught. Right? After that, man improved. But these were the 5 things that he needed to know. Agriculture, the building, clothing, medicine, and education. So about 5 things that any community, you know, you need this to sustain life. You don't have any of this, then life becomes very, very difficult. So Adam alayhi salam, now he's come to earth, right? He's come to planet earth. You know, when we talk about the Mi'raj, then I wonder why people can't accept that straight away, that the Mi'raj was physical, not just a spiritual thing, but Mi'raj was a physical thing. So the argument that they tender, that it can't be a physical thing, is because, you know, beyond a certain zone, then you don't have that atmosphere. When you don't have that atmosphere in air, then how can a man transcend? If there's no oxygen, can you move in that? So after a certain zone, right, there is no oxygen. So if you say that Nabi Sam had gone up physically, how did he go up physically, right? But by the same token, we readily accept that Adam alayhi salam came from top. So how did he come from top? Those that dispute this, they believe that Adam alayhi salam came from top to Sri Lanka, near Madras, right? He came down there. They show Adam's feet up till now, they show it, right? Don't they show it? So he came from top and he came down here. So how did he come? And again, all those people, again, they believe also, right, in the ascension of Isa alayhi salam. Don't they believe that he went up to the heavens, the third heaven or the fourth heaven? But they believe that he went by the same route, he went up. So sometimes it is just a complex, inferiority complex, you know, in front of non-Muslim, etc., we do have some type of an apologetic attitude. Somehow we do curry favor with them also, that they also begin to accept our dogmas and our scruples. But we don't need to explain them. We need to explain them. Do we need to convince them? They accept it, it's a feather in the cap. If they don't accept it, it's not a train smash. It's not a big deal that you must accept it for our recognition. You don't, then it's a train smash for you if you don't accept it. For you, it's a train smash if you didn't accept it. So we don't need to carry fear with these people that they must accept our values, our teachings, our scruples, our beliefs. They accept, it's their honor. If they don't, it's their problem. Why must we distort and change our deen and try and give them an explanation that is reasonable, that's going to be acceptable to their reasoning? We don't need to go right that length and come to that level that it's acceptable to their reasoning. We don't need to do all that. We don't need to take all the pains. Unfortunately, this is what happens to many of us, that we want to curry favor with them, that they accept our reasonings, our standards, etc. We don't need to do all this. We don't need to give our own explanations to things, nor do we need to curry favor with them. This is where, this day and time, where we go off. Sometimes we're giving our own explanations, and sometimes we're trying to be apologetic. And both, I say, is wrong. You don't need to be apologetic, nor do you give your own reasoning. Because every person's reasoning is different. Your reasoning is different to his is different to yours. Right? His taste is different. His reasoning is different. When the reasoning is different, then we can't say that my reasoning is the criteria. Because the reason changes from one person to the next person to the third person. Reasoning is changing. Logic is changing. When it's changing, then how can you say that your reasoning is the standard, is the criteria? The Indian singer for the whole India, very famous singer. So he had to go for Hajj. Right? That's a big thing now, the Indian singer, and he's gone for Hajj. Now, in the old days, as you traveling from Makkah to Medina Munawwara, then they had small restaurants. Now you have Ultra Shell, right? So they had small restaurants to just calm down, cool off, have some snacks, and continue. Right? In that time, in the old days, they used to call it Masturat. I don't know why they call it Masturat, but they used to call it Masturat. You go there, you have some lunch or something, and then you carry on. So the singer is traveling now, and he had to stop over one of those places, you see. Now in the Masturat, you have a lot of things happening, people eating there. Then you have another circle of people, they're pulling hookah, right? And then you have another circle that are drinking kahwa. So you're all these type of people. Then you'll get one person that's entertaining the crowd. Some people like that, to entertain. Right? That's what they do. So, there's one Arab singer there, one villager, he's entertaining the crowd and he's singing. Right? Now this Indian singer is saying, see what our Nabi said is 100%. He declared music haram because of this type of people singing. See, he's croaking, and how gruff his voice is, how unpleasant, you know. Because of this type of people, Bedouins and all that, villagers, he declared music is haram. Had he only heard my singing, would have definitely said that it's permissible. You see, he applied his reasoning. Where he went off? He went and used his reasoning. What was the reason for the impermissibility? The unpleasantness of the voice. Had the voice been pleasant, then maybe someone would have definitely endorsed it, you see. See how he went off. So we don't need to give our own reasoning, nor to be sympathetic or apologetic. But it's our Nabi that said it, and you nowhere near him. Not in righteousness, not in your intelligence, not in your reasoning, nowhere you are near him. So don't waste your time. Finish. Right? We believe he was the most intelligent. We believe he was the most righteous. His taste, his understanding and reasoning was most profound. Right? Allah made him like that. there wasn't a person that was as profound. So why should we now compare our reasoning to his reasoning? Like it's a pre-primary child, he's trying to compare the maths at a university level. He's comparing his maths with the maths that are at a university level. Is the comparison right? No, you can't compare that. That's at a different level altogether. This is a different level altogether. He's on a different level. So your comparison is totally different. Now here it's not even, the comparison is not just between like a pre-primary child to a university level. It's like a drop comparing itself to an ocean. It's boasting before an ocean. So what will the ocean say? Don't kid around. Don't waste my time. Won't the ocean say that? You're wasting time. You see, I got water also. You see, you got water. I got water as well. So what will you say? Are you kidding now? Don't waste my time. There's no point me discussing the merits with you. Right? Won't you say that? So that is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's an ocean. And the entire universe is not even a drop compared to his intelligence, his reasoning, his wisdom, his acumen, his ingenuity. This is the ratio, right? And this is the ratio, then it's you're wasting your time. He said it, but it is. So we're talking about the connection, you know, the brain and the limbs. Right? The action is a product of your brain. Right? So the action is then stalled because it was the product. So the brain in this world is connected to the limbs because here what is required? Action. Therefore, the brain is connected to the limbs. And the brain there is connected to the reward because there, what's there? It's just reward. Here it was just action, so your brain had to be connected to your limbs because if there was no connection between your brain and your limb, how could there have been actions? Could there have been any action? Intelligent, wise action, there couldn't have been. Right? This world is what? Just a world of actions. So the brain had to be connected to the limb for the action to be produced. Right? If there was no connection, I ask you, would the action be produced? The hereafter is a world of reward. So the brain has to be connected to the reward. Here it's connected to the limb, there it's connected to the reward. When it's connected to the reward, so the brain has to only think and desire for a certain thing. And the message is already gone on to that. And I think it's produced straight away. See how it works. See the logic in it. Like I said, the actual reasoning is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. This is how it's going to happen. You desire for it and you're going to get it. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ But that's the actual reasoning. But even our minds tell us, our weak minds tell us that this is how it must be. Because this world is a world of action. That world is a world of reward, right? So the mind has to be connected to that reward. For that reward to be spontaneous, you must think about it, it must be there. You mustn't go through any type of a struggle. Otherwise now you must wait for the thing. Right? Like you are in a braai now, right? So they gave you the hot braai. Right? The hot came, the chops and the steak, everything came hot, right? Now you're waiting for the second round. So you go through some little bit of difficulty. Right? They say, don't worry, it's coming just now, but just wait. Must eat two more morsels, but just wait now, just hold on. Drink some Coke or something, just come up, and we'll continue with the barbecue just now, you know. So here you have to still go through that difficulty. Right? You have to go through that difficulty. But there, no difficulty. There you thought of it straight away. You just thought about it, and that barbecue was there already. That whatever you wanted, it is just a straight state is there. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ Allah, give us Jannah. So what we are talking about, the link between the mind and the limbs. So now, when there is a link between the mind and the limb, then the center of focus, the center that we need to correct is the mind. Because if that is right, that is clear, right, profound, sound, is going to give right messages. The messages that is going to go through it, it's going to be right, because it's right. When it's right, it's going to give a right message. So now the need is that we correct this mind. Once it's corrected, then it's going to give right messages. Then the whole body works well. The whole operation goes very well, smooth. But if that thing is corrupt, then how do you expect it to give right messages? No one to give right messages. No master able to sleep. He's not giving right messages. You're going into a mall, or look around, how smart this girl is looking, right? How the music, how it's playing, you know? So the brain is corrupt. When the brain is corrupt, it's giving wrong signals. When it's giving wrong signals, then the body is cooperating accordingly. So the need now is to get the mind right. Mind, when the mind is right, is going to give the right signal. Right? So that's the need of the time. That the mind needs to be right. It needs to be sound. It needs to be clear. It needs to be pure. It needs to be correct. Right? So that is why Labak says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. In the hereafter, everything will go well for you if you come with a sound, clear, pure, purified heart, good heart you came in, then there's no immigrations. Then you just go through the green light. You just go through the green lane. Yeah? No immigrations. You just go. You just run. Yeah? You don't just move. You run because your heart is sound. Here in the immigrations, if you run, they'll catch you, right? Okay, there's something here. That's why he's running, right? So they'll catch you, isn't it? They have, at the immigration, if you act like casual, nothing's happening, clear face you must have. So you have to rehearse all these things, right? You rehearse this thing clear, like you've got no gabrat and you're moving. But the moment you show you've got some gabrat and some worry, apprehension, right? And you're rushing through, hey, you know, this is a candidate, he's got some problem, right? That's how they reason. They're trained to do that, right? They're trained to do that. When they see a person in a gabrat state, hey, he's got something. Right? Either in his statements or either in his behavior. Like when we were coming, when we had landed at Delhi, right? So there was another passenger that was coming around the same time. So the official is asking him, what have you got in your suitcase? Big suitcase he had. Right? Have you got any cell phones? Yeah, one. Yeah, something like that. Now, if it's something like that, he gave up the game. See, when he said something like that, now that person felt that there is something here. He felt suspicious because of the answer that he's given. See, the answer was not like something like that. When he said something like that, he felt suspicious. So these people are trained. They are trained that they need to see that person's response, his reaction. Now, they open up the suitcase, which are full of cell phones. Full. So here in this world, they will look at your behavior, right? And your behavior, there's something not right in your behavior. And they will just take you aside, right? They'll imprison you, whatever else. And they, you know, you got your right, you got your book of deeds in your right hand. Man utiya kitabahu biyamini. From that moment, you are celebrating. And literally you are celebrating. From the time that you've got your book of deeds and you got it in the right hand, you're not waiting for the immigration, nothing. You are celebrating. Saying, Ha umukra'u kitabia. Ha umukra'u kitabia. He says, come. Look at my report, man. See how children, when they came out first or second. Abba, look at my report. Don't look at his, look at mine's. Why he's so confident of himself. So, when you're going to get your book of deeds in the right hand, then you'll be celebrating. So you also understand that the time to celebrate is when you cross over. Here you're still in the struggle. You're still in the examination room. You haven't yet completed the examination. So no matter who says what, who praises you or who disgraces you, don't worry about it. Because the trial is not over. The examination is not ended. There was an email some days back that some person has got a big black mark on the right hand or something. So someone is commenting on that. Okay, this is a sign of a Jahannami. You know, if you have a big black mark like this, then you are a Jahannami. Now that person got worried and he wrote up in an email. So I tell him, that's not the benchmark. is not the criteria. The criteria is kalima. You got the kalima right, you're going through. Not black mark and white mark. But black mark and white mark is not a criteria that you're a jahannami. What Nabi Sam said was a kalima. You get the kalima right, you're going through. Now, when you move away from iman, you move away from the right thinking, فَمَاذَا بَعْضُ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. With the right thinking, the thinking that was passed on by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the standard that was given to us by him, if we move off from that standard, that criteria, that benchmark, then it's just wrong. We are just in total error. فَمَاذَا بَعْضُ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. How are you being turned away? So Nabi Sallam made it clear that by the benchmark is get your iman right. You get it. And don't you contaminate your mind, your heart, don't contaminate. I explain sometimes like also things that will contaminate. Sometimes I explain it's association, not the most important. Hazrat Ramtari used to speak about association, or in our terms call it influences, right? Influences, I say. Whatever influences you, be it the media, be it the computer, be it the WhatsApp, be it people, be it a surrounding that you are in at a mall or something, it will influence you. So the one thing that corrupts your mind and that pollutes your mind or contaminates the mind is influences. Whether the influence is wrong or it is of a doubtful nature, but it influences you. You are going right, and suddenly you had a mind shift. Mind has changed. So the influences, right? You're going right, and just now you've got to change. So one is this surrounding or influence, call it influences. You read a book or you read something and you just have had a mind change, right? What will influence you? Like I say, man was going right with his wife, right, by 10 years, and suddenly he saw one girl, and then she influenced him. Oh, he's got to change now. His whole direction is changed, his operation is changed, his ways, motives, everything changed. Before he was going very straight. And see now, one small little bhajiya and how she could influence him. It's not even a kebab, bhajiya that was. And she influenced him. Very whole operation, whole thing changed for him. See? So influences. The second thing that corrupts the mind, that dirties or pollutes and is wrong, anything that is doubtful, sinful things, any sin, don't count that sin as insignificant. People say, no, I don't know why I'm getting punished, why am I being tried. But aadmi apne aap ko beqasoor na samjhe. Don't consider yourself to be free of wrong. If you look within yourself, look within your baggage, you'll find some problems inside. To have that attitude, I don't know where I got caught, it's wrong, it's a wrong attitude. I should say this. Aadmi apne aap ko beqasoor na samjhe. Don't consider yourself to be free of fault. You look into deep into your baggage, you'll find some problems. So refrain from not just wrong, but doubtful things as well. Now doubtful things, one is action, right? Doubtful actions. Unnecessarily, every food item doesn't have to be a food of doubt. Right? Our people, when we talk, then they have doubts only in two things. One is in the pisab. Pisab came out or not? Wind came out or pisab came out? Either front or back. Front or back. You're just like tossing around. Sometimes on the front, sometimes on the back. So most of that is from shaitan. Just remember, until you can't take an oath that my wuzu is definitely broken, then your wuzu is valid. Even in reality, if your wuzu is broken, then your namaz is valid. You can't take an oath that really my wuzu has been broken, then you consider yourself to be in the state of wuzu. The same with food. The level of precaution you need to exercise is people generally, how the Muslims that are committed, then how do they respond to this type of a product? Do they say it's right? Then I don't need to be extra pious. The general Muslim that are committed to the faith, this product here, then what do they feel about it? They feel it's right, let me go carry on. Now, to be extra cautious, etc., then you're causing problem for yourself, causing problem for others. So you need to see the Muslim that is committed and how he responds. And I say you're causing problems to yourself and causing problems for others as well, because you're becoming too cautious on this thing here. I can't attend this walima, I can't eat from this person here, I can't do this. And then you'll impose the same standards on your children and wife. They find it difficult. So a standard that is acceptable by a good, committed Muslim, you just go with that, it's an easy way to move on. Going too far, right? If you want to refrain, you refrain, just say, this is my personal, I don't eat this thing, finished. But don't say, I got a doubt about this. You're creating a fight, you're creating a confusion. No, I don't want to eat this, I'll eat this. So you don't say it's because of your doubts. If you say it's your doubts, you're creating a confusion for everybody else, causing a problem for everybody else. So what is generally consumed by converted Muslims, etc., you take that. And I say this because in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there were a lot of people that used to extend invitations to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Meat was offered. But you don't find in the hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked those hosts, okay, who slaughtered this? Where was it slaughtered? You slaughtered it right, slaughtered all the veins facing the Qibla, this, that, and all. Nabi Sallam didn't ask them all that. So it was a committed Muslim. He was true to his faith. It was enough to go that extra mile. You're causing problems. You cause problems, then you start creating fitna. You say, this is haram, that is haram. Now the whole world goes into a frenzy. Everybody's going mad. You don't know what's happening, whether I'm going or coming. So the general committed Muslim, he feels that this product is right. That's enough. That's a standard. Go with it. So the second area, I said, is wrong, doubtful thing. Anything that is of a doubt, then don't go and experiment. If there's something interesting that is coming past now, you don't raise your head to see what's coming in. Because it may be a beautiful girl, and then you raise your head to see, right, out of curiosity. Now straight away you have to turn your face, Astaghfirullah, what happened now? But who asked you to? You were not forced to look at that. Was there a genuine reason for you to look at who's coming? Are you policing the earth now? Okay, hey, whoever's coming, I must see who's coming. Are you policing it? You're not policing it, you don't need. One is you are driving a car or you're walking on the street, you need to see ahead of you, right? There you see to the point of need. But one is you don't need to see, then why must you see that? Who's coming and who's going? You don't need to see, finish. And I say you need to be taking this precaution, especially in this day, because people have lost all type of decency and shame. They've lost it. Right? They don't worry about their dressing, how they carry on. They're not worried at all about it. So they're coming aggressive, with aggressive dressings. Dressings are very aggressive. They came to kill, came to kidnap, came to hijack someone. That's the type of dressing that they are putting on. The tight-fitting, and then the body must be in that shape. Now they're going out in the street with that perfume, that shape, and that clothing. They are hunting you. Right? And you becoming the victim after that. So the safety thing is, by don't look around. Look at your job, what you are supposed to be doing, and move on. But you don't need to see, you don't look. I get old people, 55, 60 years of age, and they say, hey, Mullah, some days back, and I looked at one girl, accident, but now the heart has captured it. My first rakat is going all right, second rakat is all right, but the third rakat, hey, she's coming there, man. My ruku time, she's there. Sajda time, she's there. So, the heart is strange, it captures that picture, it's stored up, and at the time that you don't want it to be there, it's coming there. See? So, this is what you're not supposed to be seeing. You don't need to see, then just delete. Don't even take the pains to try and find out what it is. What it is, who it is, why, etc. That thing may just get captured in your heart. For you to be able to delete that picture after that may become impossible. So don't look at that. So this is the second thing that corrupts the heart. One I explained, the influences, right? And the second is food, etc. Things that are not right. Doubtful works, etc. And the third is not being conscious about halal and haram. Right? See, to sustain life, you need to be in business, right? You need to do some business to sustain life. When we need to do some type of a business to sustain life, then within my business, whatever business I'm doing, I need to go and check it out with a reputable, experienced alim. Okay, this is the business that I'm doing. I got a retirement, I'm in annuity, I got a medical insurance cover, I got this, I got this. Now tell me what I must do, what I must leave up, what I must leave out. So every person's job description may be different. Your job description, your salary, etc. may be different to the next person. But if everybody just goes to a reputable experience, righteous, reputable alim, this is my job description, and this is the arrangement we have got. Tell me what is permissible, what is impermissible. What is permissible, what is impermissible. So now you know what you are doing is right. So what you're consuming is right. Your arrangements and your agreements, contracts are right. When your contracts are right, your arrangements are right, what you're consuming is right, so your mind is absolutely clear. You're eating the right thing. So this is the third thing that brings about this type of erosion and corruption to the mind. Like I say, the most important thing is to get the mind right. Get that thing right. And then, this is the third factor that causes this problem. And this is unavoidable. Like I say, you have to sustain life. To sustain life, you need to get into some business. But then you need to see whether I'm doing whatever I'm doing is in 100% or not. Now, you may not know what it is. So the right thing is go to an alim, experienced person, understands, he's got some experience, and discuss it with him. Not any alim, because every alim is not in that position to understand all these things. Sometimes maybe something very, very refined, very delicate nature, and he's got the experience. He understands this type of things. He knows these messiahs, etc. So discuss it with him. So your mind is at ease now. What I'm doing to sustain myself, that's right. I'm cautious about halal, haram. I know about the doubtful and wrong things. And number three, the influences. Inshallah, keep this in mind, that the heart goes right. With that, one is to clean the heart, right? And one is then to sustain the heart, the purity of the heart, right? One is to clean, and one is to sustain the purity of the heart. So the sustaining of the purity of the heart is being punctual on your namaz and zikr. Being punctual on your namaz, whatever your observances and obligations are, to be punctual on that, right, correctly, and to ensure that you're getting your zikr, Quran Sharif, tilawat, etc., right, talim, three things that I normally talk about, zikr and Quran Sharif, zikr, Quran Sharif, and talim. Get your talim right, get your zikr right, and Quran Sharif. That must be like a daily thing, like a bread and butter item in every home, you know, a bread and butter item. There must be talim, there must be zikr, there must be Quran Sharif. When I say talim, then in your life you've got two things, you see. One is you need to be motivated. You know, to do good deeds, then I need some motivation, right? Don't we need some motivation? We all need some encouragement, some motivation. So these Fazail Kitabs, they are a very good kitab to create, motivation, to motivate us. But then once we're motivated to do the deed, then we need to know how to do the deed. We don't only need to be motivated, but we need to know how to do the deed. What is the procedure? What is right? What is wrong? How this is supposed to be done? So for that, then there must be some talim of the basis ever. Because one is the motivation, and one is the manual, right? You need to have the motivation, and you need to have the manual how you go and do this observance, how you complete this obligation. So this talim. So inshallah, keeping these type of things will keep your mind right. Your mind will be sound, pure, clean, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Your mind will be giving right signals and right messages to the limbs. And you see a whole host of good deeds in your surrounding, in your home. In your home, there will be goodness that will prevail. But provided this is done diligently. I talk to our South African crowd, when we talk about talim and Quran Sharif, right, and zikr, right? So we need to have about three sets of all this. Whether it is the talim kitabs, Quran Sharif, or tasbihat. Because we are a crowd that's on the move all the time. Right? You don't have a South African that doesn't move. Always moving. Running here, going that side, all the time, we're just moving. changing pastures all the time, right? So here too, you are today, you are somewhere else tomorrow, you are somewhere else. So keep this set in your car as well, and keep it perhaps in your home, in your car, and the place that you frequent normally, like if you are frequenting your business or whatever. So say for example, you didn't do it at home, you're doing it in your car. If you didn't do it in your car, then you're doing it in your business. So keep these three sets where we can buy other things, you know, hot dogs and whatever else, right? One small little hot dog, 50 rand, 40 rand you're paying. But let's say that the kitab is too expensive, and 50 rand, 50 rand they're charging. 50 rand is too much. But that 50 rand, you just eat it, half you wasted it and threw it, that was nothing. But that kitab, 50 rand, it's bahut mehenga hai. Kahi sasta kharidna padega. So all our brains only comes in the taaleem. That there you have to look for the, you know, the cheapest. Allah baktofi nasib.